Com and enter the promo code Trucker Randy or call 800-654-9659.
This land of ours is under attack. Time has come, we're gonna take it back. Just wait and see. Don't tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by. Watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible. Don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. The time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends. Gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Everybody, welcome back into the show. Second hour here on this Friday, December 12, 2025 edition. Your Defending Fathers, Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Joining us on the line right now, as usual, every Friday from 10 to 11, is Pastor Chatfield. He always does a history lesson for us, talking about something to do with our history, whether it's our Constitution, our Bible, whatever. But specifically, after the Civil War, 1865 to 1877, it was referred to and called the Reconstruction Era. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Now, we all want to think that after the war was over, and Abraham Lincoln wanted to think this. He said so in his second inaugural address when he said, "With malice toward none, with charity for all, let's heal up the nation's wounds and care for him that have borne the battle and for his widow." His idea after the war was bring the South back into the Union very easily. He wanted to, he basically wanted Jefferson Davis, let him slip away. We're not going to have mass tryings and executions. There were a few, but not many. That was Lincoln's wish. Now, as you know, April 14th, he went to a theater, was shot in the back of the head by a Southern sympathizer, one of the best known actors in the United States, John Wilkes Booth. And so his wishes, he died there the next morning, April 15th, across the street. And so, but he wanted an easy comeback for the Confederates. He basically had a plan that only 10% of the people in a given state swear allegiance to the Union and the Constitution, and you become a state again. And let's just kind of take up where we left off, and let's somebody called the Civil War the recent unpleasantness. I mean, it was a lot more than a recent unpleasantness. You didn't want to talk about it. He didn't, Lincoln, but of course his wishes were not exactly followed. When he was killed, Andrew Johnson became the president. And by the way, I'll just make a, even to this point, the Constitution hadn't been amended to make it crystal clear that he becomes the president, only that he acts as president. But he becomes president. And Andrew Johnson was from Tennessee, purposely chosen by Lincoln to to kind of give, to hold the northern states, the northern Confederacy in line. In other words, he was kind of a moderate. Tennessee, Kentucky, Missouri, Maryland, Delaware, those states that were divided on disunion. And Andrew Johnson was a senator. He was the only senator in the South that when his state seceded, he did not go with his state. He continued to represent Tennessee in the United States Senate. That said, he just lacked Lincoln's skill of political understanding and political maneuvering. And was he a bad president? I don't know if he was bad, but he didn't have that much skill.
Well, on that point, Pastor Chatfield, did Lincoln actually pick Johnson as a running mate? Because I know when we started off, our country was founded, it was the person usually from the other party that was chosen to be the vice president. Had that process changed, and when did it change, if you know?
Yeah, it changed after in the early 1800s, after Aaron Burr did not relinquish his claim on the presidency to Jefferson. We clarified that in the 11th and 12th Amendments, that he ran on a ticket. And yes, Lincoln did choose Johnson. Now, Lincoln was not planning on getting assassinated, but he sure was trying, as the war was coming to an end, and it was becoming more and more clear that the Union was going to be preserved and the North was going to win, he was thinking, how can we bring the South back in the easiest? That was Lincoln's hope.
Yes, absolutely. Very good. Perfect spot for a short break. We'll continue the conversation and history lesson with Pastor Chatfield. Word from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Ian Murphy from the Iron Pig Smokehouse in downtown Gaylord. Join me every Tuesday at 10 a.m. with Trucker Randy for an update on all things happening at the Iron Pig. We're open 7 days a week and serving breakfast Saturdays and Sundays. You can order online anytime for takeout, curbside, and delivery at ironpigsmoke.com. And be sure to keep up with our legal battle against the health department by subscribing to our podcast at fuelcasttv.com.
Everybody remembers their moment, the moment Granddad handed down his old rifle. At Curtis Gunsmithing in Petoskey, we respect traditions. We also know that that old gun might not be in the same shape it was when Granddad gave it to you. Mr. Tom Curtis, the gun doctor, will take good care of old Betsy. He'll get her shined up and looking good as new. Curtis Gunsmithing is the one that you can trust with your family traditions. Give us a call at 231-838-5571. And as the gun doctor says, anything but an Abrams tank.
Lansing and Michigan needs to be fixed. Axe My Tax is a citizens' ballot initiative that would eliminate all property taxes in Michigan. Stop the theft of our homes, farms, and businesses by corrupt governmental entities and their outrageous spending. Help us make Michigan affordable to businesses and families once again. Go to axemytax.org, sign the petition, circulate petitions, and donate to help us fix our great state. Stop the stealing that's going on in Lansing. Join us. Go to axemytax.org.
And now this from Northern Michigan RV.
Hi, I'm Tony Kessering from Northern Michigan RV in Gaylord. Get ready for a new adventure with help from Northern Michigan RV. We sell everything from pop-ups and truck campers to luxury fifth wheels, and we have everything to keep you going, including parts, full service, and even propane. And we're open year-round. Don't buy anywhere before stopping into Northern Michigan RV. Off 32 on Expressway Court behind Walgreens in Gaylord. Online at northernmichiganrv.com. Get ready for a new adventure at Northern Michigan RV.
Curtis Gunsmith in Petoskey wants to ask you a question. Have you exercised your Second Amendment rights lately? Well, if you haven't, get on over to Curtis Gunsmith in Petoskey and talk to the old gun doctor about purchasing your next firearm, whether that be a concealed carry firearm or maybe an AR-15, perhaps an AK-47, or even just an old lever action. The gun doctor also works on every kind of firearm except maybe an Abrams tank. So you know your baby's in good hands. Curtis Gunsmithin. Call 231-838-5571.
I'm Justin Michael. I come from more than a century of Republican heritage, a family that has served this country, this state, and our communities with integrity and conviction. My great-grandfather, Edward C. Morrison, served Michigan in the State House as a proud Republican, and that legacy lives in me today. I'm a strong Republican, a combat veteran, and a constitutional conservative, and I believe in limited government, fiscal responsibility, and secure borders. Our district deserves a representative who won't bend, won't break, and won't play political games. Paid for by Justin Michael for Congress.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Second segment of our history lesson discussion with Pastor Chatfield. And Pastor Chatfield, I just want to be clear on that point that you made. He specifically chose Andrew Johnson from Tennessee to be his running mate in 1860. Now, 1860 election.
1864. A guy named Hammond was in...
He switched and went to Johnson. Now, do you think, though, that even proves my question even better? So that was a tactical move to replace that first vice president in the 1860 election. I apologize. Of course, it was the 64. It would have been November of 64. And then back then, did he basically get... Inauguration took place in March. Was that still the March, or had we switched over to January 20th?
No, March still.
Still March.
Yes.
Well, then the inauguration took place with Andrew Johnson, and then basically less than a month later, like you said, April 14th, passing on tax day, April 15th, Andrew Johnson then theoretically, like you said, took the office of president. But you mentioned it wasn't even clearly defined in the Constitution at that point?
Not originally. But by this time, you'd already had, let's see here, you had William Henry Harrison had died in office. But Lincoln was the first one that was assassinated. And Zachary Taylor died in office. So it had become a precedent by this time. But later it's clarified you become president. But the cabinet of Lincoln really did not like Johnson. And there are a lot of things going on here. Johnson, Andrew Johnson, and again, let me say this, the political calculation. Yeah, I love Lincoln, but he was a politician. He made political calculations. He wanted to win the election of 1864. He was looking forward to how are we going to reconstruct the South? I have never yet completely appreciated it was a difficult task to guide the country through a civil war. It's equally difficult to bring those states back into the Union. Now, let me say this again. Lincoln never recognized secession. He wasn't going to bring anybody back into the Union. Why? Because they never left the Union. A state cannot leave the Union. Secession is null and void. It's unconstitutional. That's why during the course of the war, Lincoln would never meet with somebody from the Confederacy, talk about terms or anything. Nope. And unless it was just complete surrender. To start talking about treaties or terms, it would be de facto to recognize that they had left the Union. But that, politically speaking, that's what the war was over. Politically speaking, it was over. Can a state leave the Union? Lincoln said, no, I hold that the Union of the States is perpetual. It is what it is. There's nothing in the Constitution that allows a state to secede. And there's nothing in the Constitution that instructs the president to let them secede. I took an oath to enforce the laws. I'm going to see that the mail is delivered. I'm going to see that the federal properties in the South or all over the country are going to be protected. That's my oath. I have a sacred oath. And so, I mean, there are so many contradictions here. I mean, he had to, let me just go back a step. We're talking about Reconstruction. After the Battle of Antietam in 1862, during the Civil War, that was the time that Lincoln issued his Emancipation Proclamation. And that what that did was declare that all the slaves in the states that were rebelling would be henceforth and forever free. And it would take effect January 1st, 1863. Now, on the one hand, Lincoln would say, this is a war measure. We don't want these slaves helping these Southern rebels do something unconstitutional and secede from the Union. It's a war measure. But on the other hand, if they're still in the country, how can a president take their property? Now, Lincoln never would call slaves property. The South always argued part of the war was, hey, these are property rights. They would argue three separate times in the Constitution, slavery is alluded to. So the word slaves or slavery is not in the United States Constitution, but persons held to service is, that phrase. And so Lincoln was walking a tightrope here. Was the Emancipation Proclamation constitutional? Was it legal? He said it's necessary. Now, as we are coming up, that the United States is going to win the war, he could see that we had to have a amendment to the Constitution freeing the slaves. And that happened while Lincoln was alive. This past week, we watched the movie Lincoln in my history classes. And once again, I'm somewhat disappointed with my students. Every time I watch that movie, I almost start to cry because Lincoln believed in freedom and he wanted to, he had to get this amendment passed. And he did things that today, you say, well, he was corrupt. He basically, I mean, it was something called patronage. I mean, there were a lot of lamed up Democrats that were leaving. He says, hey, you want to be post general for the state of Ohio or this one or that one or this one? You want this job? You want that job? I'll give it to you. I need your vote. I mean, he did a lot of horse trading to get the votes needed to pass the 13th Amendment. Now, listen, and he also said he had to sell this on two both sides, and he was a master at this. On the one hand, the moderate Republicans, he argued, look, this is a war measure. We got to pass this 13th Amendment, and it'll cause us to want to finish the war. But a lot of moderate Republicans said, well, let's start talking with the Confederacy. And Lincoln kind of heated, can I really do that? And he kept them hanging. And at the same time, he had the abolitionists wing of the Republican Party that says, no, this is what we're going to go for, absolute, immediate abolition, and you're not going to talk about peace. But he had to get the votes at the same time. He had to play both sides. And he did it. He did it masterfully. In the end, they got the votes. And he did a lot of things like that during the war. But he could see this. We have to get the 13th Amendment back. We have to pass the 13th Amendment. It had already been passed in the Senate. Had every reason to believe it would be passed in the state legislature. So that when the South reentered the Union, the 13th Amendment would be in the Constitution. And everybody that swore allegiance to the Constitution would have to swear allegiance to the 13th Amendment also, that slavery was abolished. And so you want to come back into the Union, Southern states? Okay, you got to swear to the Constitution. Notice the 13th Amendment, it's in the Constitution now. Now, he was assassinated, and things didn't work out exactly the way he wanted, but they did work out. In the end, it worked out. From 1865 up until 1877, there were Union troops in the South, and you had to have Union troops. Unfortunately, without the troops staying in the South, much of the South, they would have re-enslaved people, but they couldn't. Union troops were there, and you took an oath to the Constitution. Well, you can't do that, and so that's point one. The 13th Amendment, which actually happened right before Reconstruction, but really is kind of a part of it. By 1868, by this time, Johnson is still president. We passed the 14th Amendment to the United States Constitution. And Southern states are starting to come back in slowly into the Union. The 13th Amendment frees the slaves. The 14th Amendment ensures that freed men, let me just stop and say, that's what former slaves were called, freed men. There was set up something all over the South called Freedmen's Bureau. Trying to help out the slaves, the black slaves, and they would get help from the Freedmen's Bureau. The 14th Amendment was a watershed amendment. It secured the rights of citizenship to all the freedmen, and that you could not equal protection under the law, regardless of previous status of servitude. And in other words, you cannot deny these freedmen citizenship rights. But at the same time, it did something that had never been done before in our Constitution. And it said, no state should deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. Up until this, the Constitution was preventing the federal government, national government, from doing things. Like the First Amendment, Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion. It was preventing the national government from setting up, from denying, from taking away individual civil liberties. But it didn't say states couldn't do it. It said Congress couldn't do it. But the 14th Amendment said, no, states can't do it either. And this is the beginning, the beginning of the usurpation of a lot of what I would say are state prerogatives to the federal government. So I would say a lot of it, it was necessary at the time. But most of the bad laws that we've got in this country, bad Supreme Court decisions are based on the 14th Amendment. In other words, the Supreme Court deciding when the 14th Amendment says no state shall deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. For instance, same-sex marriage. If a state said, well, a woman can't marry a woman, and because that's not marriage. But the Supreme Court said, if a man can marry a woman, then a woman can marry a woman. You're denying women equal protection under the law. And a state can't do that.
Can't do that. You
can't do that. And so there's a lot. Now, eventually, that issue was thrown back to the states. We understand that.
Sure.
But that is the idea behind the 14th Amendment. It really increased federal power. And then the 15th Amendment secured freedmen's right to vote. So the 13th, 14th, 15th Amendment, end of the Civil War, Reconstruction era, and things did not, Lincoln had this hope that everything was going to be, it would have been a lot easier. It was not easy as he had wanted it to be. It is the way it is. There were a lot of starts and stops. Right after the war, when the Freedmen's Bureau was set up and the federal troops, the Union troops, were still in the South, there were lots of black congressmen, lots of black state legislators. I mean, the blacks had a lot of political authority in the South because you had Union troops overseeing things.
Sure. And enforcing them the ability to vote, and that's how many of them got elected. I want to back up real quick, though, as I'm listening and I'm looking at the Constitution, pocket Constitution. Just point of clarification on the 13th Amendment. It was passed, you said, prior to April 14th, 1865, when Lincoln was assassinated, but it wasn't technically ratified until December of that year. Is that ratification by the states?
Yes. Yes.
Got it.
First, the Senate passed it. Then it was very hard fought in the House, but then it had to go to the states for 3/4 approval.
Majority.
And they had every confidence. Yes. And it did happen. And they thought it would happen.